Well, hi, church. Thank you for tuning in. I'm in the middle of a multi-part series on a single Bible verse, Romans 12:21, which says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, in the first part of this session, the first one, I said the simple observation to make is that evil exists. Evil is a real thing, and it exists. You can't read this verse without recognizing that. But it's a really important thing to understand because people deny it all the time. The second part, I said, is love your enemies. And I get that right from the context of Romans chapter 12. It talks about it frequently there. And Jesus says it all the time, and it's a biblical principle. Love your enemies. So we're not being overcome by evil. We are recognizing that evil does exist. And yet, even despite that evil exists, we're learning to love our enemies anyway, even if our enemies are doing evil stuff. Okay? Now, today, I'm going to start looking at what it means to not be overcome by evil. And to do that, we need to understand how evil overcomes you. If you're going to avoid it, you're going to stand against it and resist it, you need to know how to recognize that it's there and what its tactics are. And the primary tactic, the most important one that evil always uses, is deception. Evil is deceptive. Okay, there's other ways that you could be overcome by evil as well, but deception is always the first way it goes about doing it. It will deceive you into thinking evil is not real, which it is, and then it will deceive you into thinking that evil is good and wise. Evil uses wisdom as its primary bait to get you into evil. Wisdom. It looks good, it looks smart, it looks wise. That's the danger of it. It is deceptive. Okay, I get that from Genesis chapter 3. This is the introduction in the Bible of where evil came from. You should go back and read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 sometime and understand where we came from and where we went wrong. The Bible lays it out quite clearly, and Genesis 3 is the chapter in which we went wrong and why the world is the way it is. You get this out of Genesis 3, and the rest of the Bible explains it, but that's where it's introduced. Okay, so in Genesis 3, Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden, and everything is perfect and great. And then evil comes in, and evil comes in through deception. Evil comes in looking good, looking wise, looking smart, looking desirable. And this is why you cannot trust your own understanding. Okay? Genesis 3, verse 1, the serpent was more crafty than any other beast in the field that the Lord God had made. The serpent, we know from the rest of Scripture, is Satan. He's talking to Eve, and he's tempting her with this fruit. But he's barely even tempting to her. He's mostly lying to her and letting her do the tempting. She's the one who starts looking, okay? He says, verse 5, God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay? So he throws this idea out there. You'll be enlightened. Your eyes will be opened. You'll understand something. You'll gain understanding. You'll know good from evil. But then, he doesn't pick the fruit and hand it to her and say, here, Eve, here, like some sort of drug pusher or something. No, he just says, hey, it'll make you wise. It'll open your eyes. She looks, and she tempts herself into it. Look at this. So the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise. And she took from its fruit and ate and gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. She looked at it. It didn't look evil. It didn't look stinky and rotten and disgusting and toxic and dangerous. It looked good. It looked desirable. And it looked like it could somehow make her wise. It looked like wisdom. Evil tempts you with wisdom, with things that look good. That's the deception of it. That's why "do not be overcome by evil" is such a hard verse to actually live by, because it's deceptive. It messes with you. This is why Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is where this originates. That's why Proverbs 3:5 says, "Do not lean on your own understanding." You don't trust your own wisdom. Don't lean on your own ability to discern right from wrong, because you'll go wrong. And that sounds crazy, because you and I think we're pretty smart. You and I think we have reasonable opinions. You and I think that, you know, we're living our lives and we're reasonably able to take charge of things and figure things out. We have a natural inclination towards doing that. And when we're a little bit unsure, we might ask around some friends, we might read a good book by some wise people, and we make our decisions based on that kind of stuff. And we think it's wise. And God says it's not. God says not only is it not wise, God says it's evil. And we don't like that. We don't like it a bit. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God. He will make your path straight. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Anything else is actually the beginning of evil. If Eve and Adam, if the two of them had had fear of God in the Garden of Eden, they would have said, okay, serpent, okay, fruit, you look pretty good. Sounds like it would make me pretty wise, but God said no. And so I will not do what God forbids me to do. I will not do it under any circumstances. Why? Because I have fear of God. And I don't want to go against him. No matter how tempting it might be, no matter how smart it might look, no matter how wise it might make me, I don't care. Fear of God, beginning of knowledge, is the fear of God. And that means if you have fear of something else, that means if you don't have fear of God or whatever, it means you don't even have the beginning of knowledge. It means you're in foolishness. It means you're in lies and you're in deception. And that stuff is evil. It's not just a silly mistake. It's evil. And this is why we have a world in which evil is trotting around out there proud and righteous and self-righteous and thinking it's good and everyone else is thinking it's good. This is why we have a world in which abortions are rampant and people make excuses for it and they say it's just a choice and stay out of it and you're a bad guy and you're a creeper and you're a weirdo and you need to lay off if you're getting involved in this and who are you to judge and everything else. This is why we have a thing called a gay marriage. It's not real marriage, not biblically, not in God's sight. And yet we pretend it is. And this is why not only is it a thing, not only is it a thing that people have to pretend is right, you don't have to, but our society says you do, but that you have to celebrate it and that you're supposed to be proud of it. This is why this is happening. And anybody who says otherwise is considered to be some sort of toxic, nasty, mean-spirited, angry, backwards loser. Intolerant, homophobic, bad person. And tolerance is good and intolerance is bad, and we've redefined good and evil, and we've called evil good, and we've called good evil. That's why, because it seems right to human understanding. Human understanding says, hey, love is love, lay off, you make your decisions, you let them make their decisions, and live, just get over it, and you know what, be happy for them, and celebrate them, and whatever else. That's what human wisdom says, and God says that's evil, all right? I didn't make it up. God says that. All right. that's where this stuff comes from. That's why we have a world in which there's so much confusion about simple matters of right and wrong, because simple matters of right and wrong have become these nuanced little gray areas because people stopped trusting in God and stopped fearing God and started leaning on their own understanding. And my understanding and your understanding are really weak. And Adam and Eve were really weak. And their understanding and their eyes and their minds and everything that they heard and saw and looked at was weak and compromised. And it fell apart. It looked like fruit in the middle of the garden. It looked pretty good. What's the big problem? That's not evil. That's just a choice, right? Let them do it. Who are you to judge? Why would you tell me I can't eat that? You're withholding something from me. You're the bad guy. Right? It's evil. Evil exists. We don't like that evil exists. We want it to just be a different way of doing it. We want gray areas. And God says, no, evil exists. Period. And evil is not what you think it is. Evil is deceptive and it will deceive you. And the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And if you get it from any other source, it's actual evil. It's humbling. It's really humbling. Okay? It knocks you off any kind of pride, any kind of ideas of who you are. And that's why we live in a world also where I saw a poll done just recently. 72% of Americans think that this vaccination mandate, that you have to fire somebody if they don't get vaccine, 72% of Americans think that's a bad mandate. I'm among those 72%. 28% think it's good. 28% of your neighbors think it is good for your boss to fire you over a medical decision you've made, or not made, or whatever. 28% think that's good. Good and evil, which is it? Those 28% would say, well, we're trying to save lives from COVID, you crazy person. What, don't you care about anybody's life? That's what they would say. And the 72% would say, yeah, but hundreds of reasons why that's not really the way we see it. And either way, it's wrong to fire perfectly innocent employees. That's what we would say. And there really are hundreds of reasons why. Never mind, that's a whole different topic. Good and evil matter, and people disagree on good and evil, and it shows up in myriads of ways. You need the fear of God. If you fear COVID more than God, you will start firing people. You will start doing bad things. Firing innocent people is bad. They didn't do anything wrong. You were going to keep them on your staff. You need them on your payroll because they're doing a good job. And now you're suddenly firing them. That's bad. Okay, that's evil. Don't do it. Don't participate in it. But if you don't fear God, then that standard is gone. You're going to fear something else. And you're going to obey that thing. You're going to obey the thing that you fear. And if COVID rules say you fire this person and you kick that person out and you close this business, if you fear COVID more than God, you will do it. And you will think you're doing right. You will argue in favor of it. And people will lose their jobs. And we will have what we currently have. We will have hyperinflation all around the world. We'll have shortages and everything else, and chaos and fear and anger and all this other stuff. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. If you do not start there, you have the total beginning of foolishness and you have evil. And that's why we see what we currently see. Get the fear of God and it sets you free from every other fear. There's nothing more freeing than the fear of God. People don't like talking about the fear of God. We don't want to fear God. That sounds scary. That sounds bad. You know what? It's the most freeing thing you can have. The fear of God sets you totally free of all other fears, all fears of man, all fears of everything, the fear of God. And that's why people who don't fear God, who live godless lives, fear hundreds of other things and are always moving from panic to panic to panic. In particular, they tend to fear invisible things that cannot be really seen because it's a counterfeit God. Fear of God is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And if you do not have it, you will be deceived and evil will overcome you and you will think that you are doing good. And that is how this works every time. It's how it works. Evil will overcome you through deception into thinking it is good. It will disguise itself as goodness. All right. God bless you. We'll hit this some more. There's other ways evil overcomes you that you need to deal with, but that's where we're at for now. God bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. See you then.